Edge with Chris Graham.
Let's record a podcast. Chris Graham. We're going to talk some Virginia sports here today on the podcast as I'm going solo here today. Day after Christmas. Hope everybody had a Merry Christmas. Those who celebrate Christmas as Kwanzaa. I think today is the first day of Kwanzaa as we're recording this podcast. We're in the midst of Hanukkah, which goes through Monday, December 30th. So, and for those who just hang out and take advantage of the holiday days off, that's usually that's actually me more than anything else. Also, wishes to you and me as far as that goes. We have a lot in Virginia sports to talk about as we're heading towards the weekend. I say a lot to talk about. Actually, not a lot to talk about in terms of actual games having been played recently. We have games looking forward to. We'll talk about the Orange Bowl as we get to the second half of this podcast. Let's talk some Virginia basketball first, though. The Hoos will play on Sunday in a game I will not be in attendance for, not surprisingly. Scott German and I will be heading to Florida on Sunday, getting on a plane, I think about 11:30 on Sunday morning in Richmond, heading down to Orlando, eventually down to Fort Lauderdale, which is where we'll have our AFP headquarters for the Orange Bowl, which is Monday night. And so we're going to miss the men's basketball game with Navy. I don't think we're going to miss much there. And I'm saying this in a lot of ways. This Navy team is not a great team, ranked 261st in KenPom.com in Division 1 out of 353 teams. KenPom projects the score of this game to be 57-39. These are the two slowest teams, tempo-wise, in Division 1 basketball. The Middies are 352nd in possessions per game. Of course, Virginia, as we know, forever until the end of history, 353rd. Well, I guess until there's more teams, and then we will be that number. So both these teams like to control tempo. KenPom's projecting 54 possessions in this game. You have slow versus slow. It's going to be even slower. You know, it's kind of like when short people have kids. The kids are also going to be short, maybe shorter. So that's what we're looking forward to in this one, or whether we're looking forward to it or not, is what we have. Navy, I mentioned a 6-4 record. I think I mentioned that. A small team, relatively. I mean, they do have four guys, 6'7 or 6'8 in their eight-man rotation, but you know, none of those guys are really significant contributors offensively, at least. The best contributor in the post is Evan Week, a 6'8, 240-pound senior, 8 points a game. 62.5% shooting, just doesn't put the doesn't shoot the ball a lot, and really isn't you know, a focal point for this team. Three guards lead the team in scoring. Cam Davis, 6 foot junior, 14.3 points a game, 35.1% from three, 5.7 attempts from long range per game. Navy, not a great 3 point shooting team, 31.7% from 3 point range, 243rd nationally. But Davis will put some up. Also, John Carter, 6'3 sophomore, he'll put a lot of shots up from three. In fact, 8.9 per game shots from three. He shoots 32.6% from three and scores 14 a game. And the third leading scorer on this team is also a guard, Greg Summers, a 6'3 sophomore. He's different. He's a driver slasher, 9.7 points, 41.2% from the field. He's only shot 5 threes in 10 games. So I guess somebody can't shoot the ball from three, and it's got to be Summers. And he's the you know, again, he's the guy that will, you know, try to penetrate and maybe kick out. Coach Ed DeCellis, I looked at the minutes that the lineup analysis that you can get from KenPom.com, and most of the minutes will be a conventional three guard, two post kind of thing, which will actually be should be good for Virginia in this sense. It's a good matchup as a last matchup before ACC play. The teams that will give Virginia fits this year will be teams that can go smaller and force Tony Bennett to think about you know, the fact that his three best players are bigs. 6'8 Braxton Key plays guard and can guard both the perimeter and the post. But then you get 6'9 Mamadi Diakite is more comfortable defensively in the post, and then of course 7'1 Jay Huff also, and he likes to give those guys the biggest minutes. That should not be an issue in this game with Navy and Virginia. So that's a game on Sunday, and again, we will not have on the scene coverage of that one, since Scott and I are both heading down to Miami, or I guess technically we're heading down to Orlando, eventually to Fort Lauderdale, eventually to Miami on Monday. But Sunday we're heading down that way. We'll try to have at least a recap after the game, after we land and get settled in Fort Lauderdale, before the big fun media hospitality Sunday night. We're not staying at the media hotel, but we're staying just a couple blocks down the street from the media hotel, and looking forward to catching up with some of our media friends, both the folks who cover Virginia sports regularly, but also some Florida folks. I'm hoping to catch up with Mark Moses. In fact, I talked with Mark Moses, recorded a segment, I should say, for his radio show today, Thursday the 26th, and to help his listeners. He's based down in Florida now. Mark Moses used to work for a station in Charlottesville for several years, and Mark and I have kept up, and he has me as a guest on his show frequently down in Central Florida, and helped him get his listeners ready for the UVA side of the Orange Bowl, and I'm hoping to catch up with Mark. He's got a credential. Hopefully he'll be able to get down Monday night for the game and kind of reprise. Mark and I used to sit in the press box beside each other back in Scott Stadium, back in some really lean years. There were a lot of those lean years, and now Orange Bowl is in the wings. Let's talk some Orange Bowl now that we've quickly gone through some Virginia basketball. Not a lot of news otherwise in Virginia basketball. But with this Orange Bowl, I wrote a column this week. I guess I wrote it on Christmas Eve. Yeah, New Year's Eve. I wrote a preview of the game on New Year's Eve. Christmas Eve. And I did my new tradition, how Virginia needs to beat, etc. Column. And because we've broken down Florida in the past week, and so now that you know Florida, if you've read Augusta Free Press, you know Florida a bit. You know what they do offensively. You know the personnel defensively and what they can do. How does Virginia win this game? I think Virginia can win this game. Two touchdown underdog, so that's a given. That's what Vegas says, and it's hard to argue looking at, man, this Florida team is a play or two away from the playoff. They're 10-2 this year. They slugged it out with LSU, lost that game by two touchdowns in the final score, but it was a one-score game, and Florida was actually driving to tie the game in the fourth quarter before falling, and lost by a score to Georgia as well, 24-17, I think the final of that game was. Either of those two games goes the right way for Florida. They're in the playoff right now. I don't think there's any question about that. But they're not, and as a result of playing Virginia in the Orange Bowl, probably feels like a come down for that side. To go 10-2, to be that close to a playoff, and then now you're playing a team that is pretty much in this game from the national perspective, just because nobody else in the ACC kind of played their way into it. I mean, Clemson gets the bid into the playoff. Somebody from the ACC has to go to the Orange Bowl because the Orange Bowl contractually has an ACC team in it. And Virginia's the best of the bunch. But, so I'm not casting any aspersions on Vegas for putting Florida as a two-touchdown favorite. I think they might be generous, actually, just looking at the two sides. But that said, yeah, I'm telling you that Virginia can win this game. I think part of it could be the come down effect. Florida may be looking at this game as a bit of a consolation prize. Also, you've got at least one of their key guys on defense, C.J. Henderson, the first team All SEC cornerback, sitting this one out. He's a junior. He's decided that he's going to take his chances with the NFL draft next spring, and why play a bowl game and risk getting injured and hurting your draft stock when you can just take the game off and move on with your future. So so that's one key guy off of a great defense. I mean, that Florida defense, we've just seen a great defense. Clemson, number one in the nation, total defense. We just played against that group back in the ACC championship game. Well, this Florida defense, number two in the SEC, that says a lot. 299 yards a game in the SEC speaks volumes as to the quality of this Florida defensive unit. But, so Virginia's got its work cut out for it offensively, but I think that Virginia can move the ball. I really do. I think Virginia can move the ball against this team. We saw the Cavs move the ball well against Clemson in that ACC championship game. Yeah, the final score was 62-17. But Virginia, 387 yards total offense, a couple turnovers that factored into the 17 points, you know, being scored on all that offense. You know, they left some points on the field, certainly, in that one. Virginia will be able to move the ball. Defensively is the issue. When you talk about what this team was for several games, maybe the first half of the season, you know, with Bryce Hall at cornerback, with Brenton Nelson at safety, you know, you had some experience. The depth was always an issue. Then you lose two key guys, and all of a sudden the depth is really an issue for this Virginia side. And so first half of the season, the game plan for Virginia was to, you know, the defense was going to hold you down. Offense do just enough to win games. Don't commit mistakes. Don't make mistakes. Don't turn the ball over, and then win you know some slugfest kind of games. Now the strategy has to be let's see if we can outscore teams. And defensively, you know, so you don't go into the game planning defensively and say we're going to stop Florida, because this Florida team, I talked about the number two SEC defense. This offense is pretty good too. Kyle Trask, 6'5 junior, took over as starting quarterback in week four. He had to relieve Felipe Frank, the preseason starter, the opening day starter, in week three because Frank went down to injury. Trask had not started a game since his freshman year of high school. Happened to have the misfortune of going to the same high school as a guy named De'Eric King, who is a top quarterback at Houston. And Trask backed him up in high school, got a ride to Florida, 6'5 guy with a big arm, even though he didn't start in high school. You know, people saw what he could do in camps. And then he held the clipboard for a couple of years at Florida, finally gets his chance, and he's put up incredible numbers. 159.3 passer rating in 2019, fourth in the SEC. And for perspective on what that means, two of the guys ahead of him, 2019 Heisman winner Joe Burrow, 2018 Heisman winner Tua Tagovailoa. So he's fourth in the SEC, two Heisman winners in front of him. 24 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, 2,636 yards, 67.6% completion rate as a passer. 8 Gators with 20 catches or more this season. The number one target is actually a tight end. This says a lot about, you know, when you start thinking about what the numbers mean and what you see. The number one receiver is a tight end. Kyle Pitts, 6'6", 239-pounder, NFL prospect, certainly. First team All-SEC. He's a nightmare physical in terms of a physical matchup. 6'6", 239, 51 catches, 610 yards, 12 yards a catch, 5 touchdowns. I don't know who covers him. You know, can we get Braxton Key out there? Can Braxton suit up? Because Braxton can cover anybody. Wideouts include 6'2 redshirt senior Van Jefferson, 43 catches, 528 yards, 12.3 yards a catch. The one guy that gets my attention is 6'5 junior Trevon Grimes, 15.1 yards a catch, stretch to field kind of guy. So you start looking at this. You got a 6'5 quarterback. He's going to play in the NFL. You got a 6'6 tight end. He's going to play in the NFL. A 6'5 receiver with speed. Going to play in the NFL. If we had Bryce Perkins and Brenton Nelson, this would be a tough matchup. We don't have them, and so tough matchup. The one thing that will help us in this one is Florida can't run the ball. 120.3 yards per game rushing this year, last in the SEC. So how do you – if you're Virginia, if you're Nick Howell, defensive coordinator, how do you approach this? I think you – do sort of what you did against Clemson, but you'll probably be a little more effective with it. Against Clemson, what Howell tried to do was drop extra guys in coverage to help the secondary. Clemson, unfortunately for us, also has a top-flight running game. Travis Etienne ate it up, 114 yards on 14 carries. The backups did their job, 211 yards for Clemson on the ground. And so when you drop extra guys in coverage, that does leave you exposed to the running game, being able to gain yards on you. We would love it if Florida decided to run the ball more. That would, you know, if we drop guys in coverage and they take advantage by running, keep the game in front of you. That's going to be the approach, whether it's in the air or on the ground. Keep the game in front of you. Just keep the big plays out. Make this team move the ball between the 20s, and then the focus when Florida gets to the 20 to the red zone, then you dial up. Then you dial up some blitzes, you put the pressure on, bring guys from different angles, up the A-gap. I mean, send linebackers from either side, maybe a safety blitz, corner blitz, but do some different things. But don't do that until you need to. You know, make them make this Florida team kind of piecemeal it up. If you can do that, make them take the profit, as they say, so that they can't go broke. Then in the red zone, see if you can bend but don't break. You don't have to stop them every time. This isn't like the – again, this is not like the defense of the first half of the season when you did stop a lot of opponents lots of times. Honestly, I've mentioned this game's going to have to be a 35-34 type game for Virginia to win it. So if you can just hold Florida to a couple field goal attempts in the red zone, if you can force a turnover, whether it's in the red zone or other part of the field, if the ball bounces on the ground, fall on it. If the ball's popped up in the air on a – if you can get a pass rusher with his hand up in the air, knock a ball up in the air, catch it, and do something with it. But I don't know that Virginia's going to get three and outs in this game. I don't know that they're going to, after Florida gets a first down, force a punt. It's going to be the kind of thing where you're going to have to just make them work. The more they're on the field, actually, it's going to kind of – it's like a little bit of a rope-a-dope strategy, Muhammad Ali, George Foreman, because we're going to have to take some abuse too. I mean, obviously, my strategy involves Florida running 80 plays and just – the more plays they run, maybe they turn the ball over, maybe they get to a fourth down in the red zone, have to kick it. And that means our guys are going to have to be out there for longer periods. But I really think that's got to be the strategy defensively. Offensively, I think the strategy is just do what you've been doing. Virginia has been averaging in the last five games 461.6 yards per game, 36.4 points per game, going 4-1 on that stretch. And that outing of 387 yards against Clemson, best outing for an offense against Clemson this season. Bryce Perkins has been the key, 298.0 yards per game passing over the last five games. The first eight games, for comparison, 238.8 yards. Over those first eight games, Virginia averaged just 344.3 yards per game. And since then, we've seen the numbers going up almost 120 yards per game. You know, what's unsung about this, we talk about Bryce, we talk about the receivers. Hasis Dubois had that great game in the ACC Championship game, 10 catches, 11 targets, over 100 yards. But what's been overlooked is the improved play of the offensive line. And I got some numbers to kind of tell you how good this has been. Opponent sacks over the first eight games, 3.3 per game. Last five, 2.4. Now, you might say, that's only a sack per game, but it's one less sack per game. More effective in creating space for the running game. First eight games, 104.8 yards a game. Last five, 163.6. So you're getting just about 60 yards more rushing. That's open up the passing game, which is at 60 yards more per game. Less pressure on the quarterback, and the offense is more effective. And that makes your defense more effective. You got to think about – football is a zero-sum game. If your offense is – sputtering and three and outing, that means your defense is right back out there. They don't get a chance to get the oxygen on the sidelines, Gatorade, get some rest, rest those weary legs and that kind of thing. If your offense is getting first downs, if your offense is moving the ball down the field, your defense is sitting there. They're catching their breath. They're getting the blood flowing again into their legs. That will make your defense more effective. And the two games that I think this game has to model on, if you want Virginia to win this game, and you're listening to this podcast, you do, it's the North Carolina-Virginia Tech games. Carolina final score was 38-31. The Tech final score was 39-30. And in both those games, the opponent, North Carolina, scored 31 points in the first three quarters. In the fourth quarter, actually drove the ball twice on the Virginia defense, but both drives stalled out because Virginia got stops when they finally needed to. The Virginia Tech game, Virginia Tech had 27 through three quarters, got a field goal on his first drive of the fourth quarter, but that drive petered out to 30-yard line, 47-yard field goal, good. That's awesome. Make him kick a long field goal. And then after that, a turnover, and then the sack leading to the fumble in the end zone recovered by Virginia, touchdown, game clincher. Virginia Tech drove in the last 30 seconds, meaningless yards, and it fizzled out in the red zone. But in those two games, so Virginia in those two games combined, the defense gives up 61 points. Fourth quarter of both those games, a total of 3 points. And so it's a cumulative effect. It's going to have to be if you're Virginia. Again, rope-a-dope. Be Muhammad Ali. Sit there on the ropes. Let Florida punch you a little bit. And then when they punch themselves out, you're there in the fourth quarter to win the game. That's how Virginia beat North Carolina. That's how Virginia beat Virginia Tech. And if Virginia's going to win this game against Florida, that's the way it's going to have to be. And I think it's possible. Definitely think it's possible. Virginia, you know, avoid the turnovers. Maybe force a turnover or take advantage of one. Listen, forcing a turnover, you know, when you force a turnover, it's because you're rushing a quarterback. He throws the ball to a space he's not, you know, expecting to. And I don't know that we're going to force a turnover. I think we might pop a ball up in the air. We might pop a ball on the ground, fall on one. But take advantage of whatever opportunities present themselves. You're going to move the ball. I don't think there's any question. Virginia will move the ball in this game. Florida's going to move the ball in this game. We just have to move it a little further. That's the way we're going to win this game. And so that's the game plan. That's the blueprint that I'm offering for you out there. And so we'll see what happens as far as that goes. Tomorrow I'll be talking to Jerry Carter here on the podcast. I'm sure Jerry will ask me some more questions about both Virginia Navy and then, of course, Virginia Florida. And then the weekend comes and I'm flying down to Orlando to head my way to Fort Lauderdale to head my way to Miami. And Scott German will be joining me. We'll have I'm sure we'll do something on Sunday previewing the game. Probably do some stuff on Monday. I'm going to get sunburned. I'm promising you that. I'm going to get sunburned when I'm there for you. You know, those who can't make the trip down, I'm going to take one for the team. I'm going to get sunburned. I'm hoping to blister. That's how much I want to get sunburned. And come back home, and then that'll help me ride out the winter here in Virginia as far as that goes. But looking forward to that trip, and hopefully you're going to be able to catch up with our coverage. And in the meantime, I want to thank you for listening, and want to end the podcast as I'm going to start ending podcasts here in the future in memory of our former intern Tess Majors, who died tragically earlier this month. Do something totally out of the blue. You never know. Something good might happen as a result. Did for Tess. She booked herself a gig for her band because she did something out of her comfort zone. Do something out of your comfort zone. Do something that you've wanted to do and been too scared to do. Do something that maybe you thought, if you try to do it, you might be embarrassed. The worst that can happen is somebody will say no. You might fail, but you might surprise yourself and succeed. And do that in honor and in memory of Tess. Appreciate it if you tried. Thank you for listening, and have a great day, everybody.